Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Talk. I'm your host, Janice Cannell, for today, Sunday, January 25th. We have an exciting show planned for you all tonight. The ladies are excited, so I'm not going to hold them too long. But first, I wanted to turn it over to my sister, Denise, to see if she has any beauty news for us.
Good evening, ladies, and welcome to the show. Just really quickly, I have just a couple of things from the Professional Beauty Association. PBA is presenting an upcoming webinar next month, Styling for Fashion Week, Backstage with Charlie Price, Monday, February 2nd, 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, 10 a.m. Pacific. It's a 60-minute class, and during the 60 minutes, informative, intensive event, Charlie will share his experience and expertise on a range of runway-related topics, including the following. What is Fashion Week? You'll be surprised how many people don't really know. Are you qualified? Discover the technical and professional skills you'll need. Strategies for breaking in. It's not easy to get your foot in the door, and it's not always glamorous. Establishing relationships with agencies. How and why. Incorporating runway work into your professional goals. Learn the exciting realities of Fashion Week during this honest and insightful web event. Webinar attendees will enjoy behind-the-scenes photos, stories from backstage, and Charlie's fresh perspective on fulfilling the Fashion Week dream. Register today, and you can register by going to PBA's website, which is probeauty.org. Again, that's probeauty.org. Also, coming up, actually, it was this weekend, but also tomorrow is the last day. I forgot I brought this to you on last week, but let me just give you more details for Tuesday's the last day. Let me give you details for tomorrow. The presenters for tomorrow's ISSE Long Beach. Monday, the stage presentations are from 9:45 to 10:45 with Beth Minardi, The Colors of Salon Success. From 1 to 1:45, it's main entrance, the trend experience. The hands-on education, which is an additional fee, which is from 2 to 5 p.m., cut and color with Christopher Benson. The complimentary education is from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., which is Orly Gel Effects, French Like a Champion. Aesthetics America and Wellness Education presents from 2 to 5 p.m. Tedesco, Corneal Therapy Technologies, and that's an additional fee as well. And the special event tomorrow evening is from 10:45 to 11:45 a.m., meet and greet with Beth Minardi, and from 1:30 to 3 p.m. is 7 Cal Beauty Career Fair. So, again, for more information on that, you can go to PBA's website, which, again, is probeauty.org.
All right. And just a quick reminder for those of you who are listening, if you have a question or comment, you can call 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Make sure you press the option to speak with the host. So tweet with us right now while we're talking. You can tweet with us by using the hashtag BeautyBound. So I'm excited because I think that this is a topic that needs to be discussed. And I'm happy to have with us on the line tonight Thea Bansler and LaToya Perry of The Zone Project. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thea, why don't you first start off by telling us what inspired you to do all of this? What's the Green Project all about? What does it mean to you? What inspired you to do it?
Well, the Glean Project is, let me go back. This was starting an agency was something that I've wanted to do for a very long time. I didn't think it was happening now, but God had God knows best, so I had to obey. However, you know, I've had the experience of having an agents, and I've also had the experience of booking majority of the work that I've had so far. So I know both ends. I know I've just learned a lot during the years, and I wanted to have an agency just built on straight integrity. I wanted to help, kind of have a vehicle so that we can help develop really great artists that, you know, might have a challenge trying to get in some of the agencies out there today, to really help cultivate them and basically give them a roadmap to their future and what they want to do. You know, basically
right.
What we want to do is keep things concentrated. So, you know, everybody that we bring on board to the Glean Project, we sit down with them. And we find out what their long-term and short-term goals are. And based off of that, we put them on a path. So if they want to do commercials, we know what kind of work to go for them. Because in the end, we want them to have a collection of work that helps them, you know, that's important for their longevity in business.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to help them with the branding. We want to help them with the business side of things. You know, we help them with social media. So it's more than just, you know, just an agency that has talent. You know, we go a little deeper.
Right.
Let me introduce Toy. Let me introduce Toy. Toy is, she's my right arm. She's my VP of operations, Toy Perry. And I'm so grateful and thankful for her. And I just want to introduce her to everybody. She's on the phone too. Toy.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
How is everyone?
Hi.
let me ask you both, because I hear what you're saying, Tia, and I'm in total agreement with what you're doing and why and the reasons for you doing it. Do you guys feel like, and I'm not pinpointing any agency in particular or any agency at all, rather, I'm just saying just agencies in general, do you And especially, I'm not sure of Toy's experience with agencies, but with Tia, you know, you were talking about your different experiences with agencies and then you kind of booking the majority of the work yourself. Do you find that some agencies aren't concentrated, like you were saying? Like, you find that maybe you go in and they really not know what your goals are.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you, from my experience, I know that, you know, that's nothing that we ever discussed. You know, I never discussed that with my agents. Basically, they look at your collection of work and they go where the work is and that's it. But it's never personalized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we wanted to do. We wanted to personalize. So, you know, what works for this artist might not work for this artist, you know. And it's just based upon what they tell us, you know, where they want to be in their career. Because we are there to help them and, you know, we want to serve them. And, you know, that's just in both of us. So, it's, you know, when we sit down with people, we want to know your heart. We want to know what do you want to do. You know, we don't want to just book jobs. We want to help you and help you grow in this thing, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And for me, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I remember being on a job, and I was in this particular job, there was a lady later, an agent artist, and she was like in her later 60s. And I thought to myself, I do not want to be slinging brushes at 60.
Yes.
You know, like, there has to be a plan.
Yes.
You know, what do you want? And if I'm doing makeup at 60, great, because I want to.
Right.
But what is
right.
the plan? There's so many facets of makeup now that artists can get into, whether it's brand, it's, you know, being a brand ambassador, so many
yes.
different things that they can do. What do you really want to do? You know, everybody wants to do celebrity, but if you're gifting and you're artistry is in a different place. That's where we want to have you, where you're making money and you're doing what you love and you can have longevity in it.
Yes.
Right.
Now, T, you mentioned a little bit earlier about integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that, that was an issue when you were with some of the agencies that you were with, if you can speak honestly?
Well, you know what? I think that, you know, I've had a little experience with, you know, with that a little bit. And, you know, just speaking with other people that are with agencies, you know, it's mm-hmm. just an uncertainty you don't know, you know. And I've had things happen with not even an agent, but someone that was basically just supposed to, you know, help me, was trying to help me, but really was really changing my rates and doing things like that. So we want to be concise with things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. You know, we're not trying to rob people. You know, we're doing standard things like every other agency. However, we want you to be ensured that we are doing the right things. You know, like we won't be doing any slighty changes and things like that that will make you aware of what's going on. And we're quick to pay. I mean, the people that so far that, you know, have gotten jobs with the Gleam, we are right on it. You know, if we can do PayPal, we do PayPal. We want to get you your money because us knowing, because we've been on this side of the makeup, on the makeup thing too, we understand the importance of getting your money. We understand people have bills, you know, and so we're not paying our bills and then paying you, you know. When that money comes in, you're going to get the money. We're going to notify you and let you know so you can get your money, however you want to have, you know, whether you want to PayPal, whether you want it mailed out, whatever, that's something that we ask and we get it right to you. So we want to keep that there. We want to keep that standard and, you know, just keep building off of that. But, you know, that helps because we understand, you know. So we here at the Gleam, we want to get you the best rate. We don't want you out there working and getting robbed. You know, we understand. So it helps when, you know, we're putting rates together and things like that because we know. I mean, we've even bumped up rates because people just didn't know, you know. And so we know, so we're like, okay, no, we're going to get you the best based off of this. You know, you have a really great collection of work. You work hard. You know, we're going to go for the best.
I have a couple more questions about the agency side of this conversation before I switch it to branding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes at some agencies, I've heard artists talk about all of these very talented people, you know, people that are on the same level. Sometimes, not too often do you see rosters where you can see that the artists are on different levels. But most of the time, they're all on a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder if the agent, like, say, for instance, there's a job for a makeup artist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have five artists on the roster, and they all, when you look at their body of work, it's all very similar, you know, I'm wondering, like, well, who are you really working for? Are you really trying to get artist A the job, or are they, you know, how does that work? How's that going to work at the Gleam project, I should ask?
I think that for us, the talent is very different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to be able to cover everybody, you know, but I like that everybody is a little different, you know, whereas this one might be really great in editorial, this one might be really great with celebrities, you know, so we want to keep a balance in that. And sometimes the client will choose, you know, they'll choose who they want to work with. So they'll take a look at the portfolios and they'll say, okay, we you know, based off of what we need, we think this one fits. So it's something that they, you know, we feed off of them as well as we can kind of, we can pitch people that we think would be a better fit for this job, you know, based off of the client, you know. I know I had a client and I got a request in and I knew this particular person would be really, really great, a great fit with this brand. So we were able to connect that and it did work out really, really great. And the good thing about it was I knew the client, so I was able to tell her, okay, this is what they need. You know, this is, they're timely, they're this, they're that. And based off of that, I was able to kind of coach her through it. So she walked in the door already knowing, okay, I know how they are. Let me comply and do exactly what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just having a diverse client. What do you think, Toy? You have anything to add?
Kind of what you're already saying is that even though the body of work may look similar, going back to people's personalities are very different, where we could send a particular makeup artist to one job, kind of knowing the environment that that person may be working in, we pretty much know who will fit the best, not necessarily the work alone, what personality-wise, how quick they are, the timing they work in. So it's a lot of things that go into the decision that's being made. Who goes?
Let me ask you, Tori, because, you know, at a lot of times you hear artist agents speak and they talk about the artists that they represent. Basically, a lot of people always ask, well, how can I, you know, get with your agency? And a lot of times I'll hear agents say, well, you know, you have to have celebrities in your portfolio. Is that the case with the Dream Project?
That's not the case at the Gleam Project, because we're not going after celebrities. That's just not our thing. We're going after ad agencies in different places. So, no, that's not the case. We want solid makeup artists who know their job and know what to do. The personality is just different. The celebrity is just the personality. With the face, it's the same. It's, they're still people. So, no, you don't have to have a celebrity background where T and I may work with you a little bit, you know, just how to know the business of it, knowing how to come in and go out with them, knowing, you know, you're not taking pictures with them, how to go in, you know, and be around them.
Mm-hmm.
But the face is the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the face is the same.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that when I worked at the counter, I would always treat people just with, you know, the utmost respect, no matter who they were. Everybody sitting in my chair, I wanted to give them an experience, you know, whether it's just, you know, release what's on your mind. You know, when you sit in my chair, I want you to sit back, just, you know, have a peaceful experience. And I did that with every person that sat in my chair. And so when the celebrity part came, it was easy for me because I was always used to treating people a certain way, you know. So it was no different. It's not different when I work with celebrities versus when I work with a socialite or, you know, I might do a wedding, you know, from time to time. It's the same. I treat people, everybody the same.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. I think that's important, too, because now it's easy because this is just what I do. I don't have to change, oh, when I go do a celebrity, it's a different thing. No,
right.
It's the same.
Well, you know, there's a lot of artists out there who are like that, though. They will switch it up when they work with a celebrity, or they feel like they have to switch it up. And I don't really understand where that comes from.
Yeah,
me
neither.
Because I feel like treating people right or nice has a lot to do with who you are.
Right.
And not the fact that you're a makeup artist working with a celebrity.
Right.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Then let me ask you all, how many, for each of the categories of talent that you have on your roster, how many people are you going to carry on your roster? For example, like how many photographers do you want to have? How many hairstylists or, you know, manicurists do you want to have?
Well, I think for us, because you know, we're gonna have a whole national scope, so we want to employ people all across multiple cities nationwide. You know, we want to have people, a team in London, and, you know, pretty much, you know, all the major cities that. Right now, we haven't added any other people to the website because we want to make sure everybody is up and running, you know, with work now. And then in February, we want to go back and we want to add. But I think the most important thing is having people all around so that when the need is there and people calls and says, hey, I need somebody, we can meet those needs for the client. So I think we're looking at it in terms of just being national versus how many photographers and, you know, this. That's more of the outlook. We want to make sure we can, you know, give superior service and that we can deliver what these clients need if they're in Vegas, if whether they're wherever, you know. So we haven't thought about, like, how many photographers we need, how many, you know. We haven't thought about that part. We want to be able to meet needs. Right. We want to have people on board just in case somebody, you know, calls and says, hey, we need this. We want to make sure we have a roster that can, you know, contribute to that.
As Tia said, our goal is to keep everyone working, so we're not trying to overload everything. And, you know, you get a job every now and then. So our goal is for it to be consistent and have everyone consistently working. But even since we started, we're getting calls from different cities. Like, well, right now, so we really are just calling makeup that we know personally.
Yeah.
Can you go? Can you do? So we're just, you know, we're just trying to service everyone. And so we know we probably have a larger company, but really have a team that is working. Everybody wants, we as makeup artists, we want it to work. So we want to keep everybody working in whatever field you're in.
Right. That's the main thing. I'm like, I don't want to crowd and have 100 people on a roster and two people working.
And then
you know,
at you like, how come you're not getting work?
Right. So right now we're like, we're going to put the brakes on things right now. Just right now, you know,
right.
So that we can make sure everybody is at their best and getting jobs and things like that. That's the main thing we're concerned about right now.
Right. And then secondly, with that is, as an artist, Tia has already, you know, established her brand, but the Gleam has established our brand as well. So we're being very selective. You know, because that's our first face out there. So we have to make sure that everybody's consistent. So you kind of have to start off with a handful to make sure that, that you know, the foundation is laid.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, I was looking at the About Us section on the Gleam Project website.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that says, the Gleam Project helps clients, one, shine brightly, two, evoke attraction, and three, showcase success. And my attention was drawn to, evoke attraction. How does, in you guys' mind, how does evoking attraction play into branding?
I believe that, you know, that's just like, say, for instance, if, you know, you work on a project, you know, you can work on a CoverGirl ad, and that ad is so amazing. You know, you did the makeup, you had somebody do the hair, and it's just so beautiful to the eye that it attracts people, you know, where people are like, oh, I want to try this lipstick. Oh, I want to try, you know, I want to try this. You know, when you put your brand out there, you know, you want to be able to evoke attraction in a good way that will attract people to your brand, you know. So I think it plays a major part in what we do because we want to be able to serve people and service them to bring the best overall success to whatever project that we are part of.
Speaking of branding, what would you guys say are the major steps to building your brand?
Toy, you want to start off?
I'll start off with this, and that is I know as makeup artists, a lot of makeup artists can do a variation and work in different like film, they can work in print, but sometimes, you know, we're stronger in some places than others. So part of branding is putting your whatever, whatever field you're working in, put that first. You know, if you're strong in print, stay there and build on that. And then, you know, don't push so much of the other stuff that you're not as strong in out there until you're very strong and have mastered it. So putting your best work first is really big in branding, so that when they see, you know, Denise kind of, oh, they see a movie, oh, we know that she did that. That's her work. She stamped it. No one else can do it like her. So when branding, you know, putting your thing on it and being and mastering it is first for me.
I think when you think about personal, branding, you, in many ways, it's like, how do you want to be seen? It's like your reputation, basically. You know, are you an expert? Are you trustworthy? You know, are you consistent? You know, what do you stand for? What do you offer? You know, what comes to mind when people say, you know, Tia Danzler, you know, what comes to your mind when somebody mentions my name? You know, it's you want to make sure your brand is tight. You know, you want to become the best, you know, and every brand evolves, you know, every big brand, Nike, you know, every big brand evolves and it finds a way to continuously grow and, you know, and challenge yourself and continue to learn and be innovative. And I think the one thing about it is when you look at the brand, you have to look at everything. You know, you have to look at your website. You have to look at what name are you going by. You have to look at your email. You have to look at your social media. You have to look at your portfolio, your business cards, you know, everything dealing with your brand. You have to really evaluate, how do you want to be seen? You know, what name do you want to be called? Do you want to be called Makeup by So-and-So, or do you want to just your name? You know, those things are very important. And the one thing about it is you want to be easy. You want to be easily found, you know, on Google and and things like that. So you want to make sure that you're out there, but you don't want to have this big long 20 letters in the name. You want to make sure it's easy to find
right.
you, and that it's a name that can withstand a long. It's not a trendy name that might go tomorrow.
Right.
You know,
some years back on this show, there's a couple people following us on the they used to have a chat room on Block here on Block Talk Radio,
mm-hmm.
and I never knew who was who because they had names that didn't identify them as being who they were. It may have been their blog name or
mm-hmm.
some name they came up with, and I mentioned, I was like, you know, you really should go by your name so that people
absolutely.
Know who you are. I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once you have established your brand by using your name,
mm-hmm.
then you can go off and say the Gleam Project, Beauty Talk Radio. People will know who's behind those brands
mm-hmm.
once you've established a brand for yourself.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's just like, say, for instance, if you do, you know, editorial work, you know, your credits are not going to read makeup by so-and-so and so-and-so. It's just going to be
mm-hmm.
your name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to put your name. They're not going to put, you know, all of these funny, you know, all these long names. They're going to put your name. So,
And then, too, I think it's more professional to buy your name. That's
just saying.
Also have your
Can you all hear us?
Mm-mm. She's
so
muffled.
We're having problems hearing you. Coming in a little bit more.
It's just more professional for
mm-hmm.
You to just go by your name, you know, your first and your last name. You know, on your all your social media accounts, I just think, you know, your email should just read simply your if it's just, you know, tiadanzler@gmail,
mm-hmm.
you know, or
mm-hmm.
whatever, or tia.dev, something like that. Just keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you're in an interview with a producer or director, and let's just say they ask for your email address and they're going to send you a script later that day or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you give them the email address, you know, I don't know, beat by somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
they know that you're a makeup artist. They get that.
Mm-hmm.
And they know, you know, that people have these cute little, you know, names and stuff. But to me, I just think it comes across a little more professional, a little more mature. When you're
yep.
just using your name.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what? We have a caller, and I want to get her on here really quickly. Maybe Brandy, I'm not sure.
Oh,
hello.
Hi,
hello.
Brandy.
Hi, Brandy.
Hey, how are you? I'm good. How are you guys? I'm just like jumping on the show just now, but I kind of came in on the part where you guys were talking about branding and your name and definitely pushing your strength. And I love to hear that because, you know, like I'm newer in the industry,
mm-hmm.
Maybe 5 years full time.
Okay.
And so, I definitely have stayed in my strength area, but then on my free time, I try to build on those other areas where I know, like,
okay.
you know, I want them to catch
mm-hmm.
up. So is that a good
mm-hmm.
idea, like, to just keep practicing? And
I would say yes. You know,
when
this is Tia, and when I started out, I did pretty much everything. I did film. I did fashion shows. I did weddings. I did print. I did everything, and I think that I was able to figure out what I liked best and what I was stronger in, and that's what really helped me weed out everything I didn't want to do. So I was like, oh, okay, I really don't want to work on film. Well, I really particularly didn't want to work on films because it's long hours and things like that. Then I wanted to, I had a different concentration. So I think, yes, working on different areas, it really helps you figure out what you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I wanted to try everything because I didn't want to ever turn down a job that I could have taken because I didn't have a preference for it. Like, for me, I don't like bridal because I just don't like all the attitudes. No, and it's sometimes it's not even the bride. It's like family, though.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I hate that pressure, but it's good money. So
yeah.
I started in bridal.
Yeah, it's
so
that
I'm
quick
good
money.
At it.
Yeah.
It's that quick money, and it's good at it, and I'll keep it on the reserve. Like,
yeah.
Can you do my wedding? I'm like, oh,
but you know
can't
what I would
anybody
do?
Anybody else?
Let me tell you what I would do. Once I did so many weddings, I'm like, okay, I need to make a change. So what I would do is I would tell the main person, okay, it's only you and her in the room while I'm doing her makeup. Nobody
mm-hmm.
else comes in. I want her to be peaceful. And then what I would do, every bride, I pray with every bride before I got started. Like, I don't care who
awesome.
The bride was. I touched and agreed, and I prayed. And that also helped, you know, the bride relax a little bit. You know, the maid of honor, whoever that was, you know, everybody just kind of was more in a peaceful state. So I totally agree.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and I separated.
Thank
we
you.
Have to have a separate room away from
absolutely.
The bridesmaids. Because she doesn't need to know what's going on out there. You know, she needs to be peaceful before she steps into this dress.
That's
and so, hey,
right.
yeah.
You know, that's so funny that you say that, Tia, because I do that with all my brides, too. I pray
you do.
I do. I don't even ask if it's okay. I just do it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I'm like, let's
make that okay.
Yeah, we're going to
I'm praying my car,
hands,
but
pray.
I'm going to start praying for people right there.
Yeah.
Come here.
But you know, it not only calms the bride down and all that, but it helps you compose yourself as well because
yes.
sometimes when the bride is doing so much and she's got all of her girls and they're doing all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
it gets to be chaotic. And it's like you really
mm-hmm.
can't work like that with all of that going on, it just becomes a little difficult. But it's funny also
mm-hmm.
that you mentioned the separate room because I was actually doing a trial for a bride yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I asked her just that: are you and your girls to be in the same room? You know,
yeah.
And she said yes, and I said you have to have a separate room.
Yes, absolutely. Because it gets nasty.
If not for herself, for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Because plus, you
that's
already
great.
Want to make you already it? You already want to make sure she loves her makeup. You know.
Right.
You know. You so you just want the most peaceful environment so you can do your job without tears and you know just keep an upbeat you know environment. So yes, I had to learn. But yeah, weddings was good. I loved some weddings because you in and out.
But that's the thing about when you're first starting in this business, you almost have to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
What it is you actually really enjoy doing.
Because you don't know. You know, you don't know until you try it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think that, too. You need experience. And, I mean, even still, I love to try different things still, you know. You have to keep inventing. And, you know, it might be something else that you want to add to what you're doing.
It's funny because when I first started out, I'm not sure if I was still in makeup school or not, but I thought, well, because when I started in going to makeup school, I didn't even really want a career as a makeup artist.
Mm-hmm.
This all just happened. So Reggie Wells said to me, because I said, well, you know, I think I want to start in the theater. Because I love theater.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I think I want to start in the theater. He was
mm-hmm.
like, well, you know, there are not a lot of jobs for makeup artists. You know, they kind of do their own makeup in the theater. And I was like, yeah, okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, when I really started working in makeup,
mm-hmm.
I was doing a lot of television, local
mm-hmm.
television, or those little one-day television jobs or corporate video jobs. But it was always something like a monitor or
mm.
a video camera or, you know, television or film. And then, you know, once I really started doing film and episodic television, that's when I said, okay, this is what I love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, so when I originally started out, I was just like, oh, okay, maybe the theater. But I was just reaching because, really,
I didn't think that I was going to have a career as a makeup artist. I never planned it.
Wow, look at it now.
Right, so I just never knew, you know. But wow. Brandy made a good point when she didn't want to turn down anything. And it, when you're branding yourself, trying to find out where you are, you know, you're going to be or what's the best area for you, is it okay to say no to some of the jobs that come to you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I have. I remember one time, you know, I did some videos and things, and I remember I got a call to do this particular video. And, you know, big, one of the top rappers. And I just didn't feel like I was supposed to do this job. So I turned it down. And it was like as soon as I turned that job down, just things opened up for me in a huge way. Mm-hmm. Like in a huge way. But I kind of went back and forth, like, do I do it just because they called me to do it? Or, you know, do I not do it because I'm not feeling like I should do it? And eventually I just said, no, I can't do it. And I just kind of stood on what I believe. And at that time I didn't believe that I was supposed to be doing that. And so that those videos, I stopped doing those videos, period. Period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for rappers.
And once again... The same experience. Early in my career, you know, I was doing, you know, television news and, you know, doing a little film stuff and doing tons of videos, tons of rap videos. You know, Atlanta was like really, really big for rap videos, just any kind of music video, actually. But I was doing tons of rap videos and I did not like it. But I was doing it. The money was good. You get paid at the end of the shoot. You know, everything was good. But the more and more I did those jobs, the more and more I knew I did not belong there. I knew it. And as soon as I stopped doing the music videos, more television jobs started coming. More film jobs started coming consistently. So I didn't have to go back to those jobs anyway. But if you have to know for yourself. You have to know who you are.
Absolutely.
That's right.
It's amazing. The very last music video I did some years ago, I've never done another one. And this, like, let's see, this is 2015. I think my last rap video was probably 2001.
I never looked back.
How much money they offer. That's not for me.
I think you just, once you have standards, and I think that you have to just stick with them, you know, and you have to follow your heart. If you feel, you know, uneasy about a situation and an environment, that, you know, you have to just go with what you feel because, you know, sometimes those rap videos will bring different kind of environments. And if you're not used to them, you just don't feel like you need to compromise who you are to be in, you know, just to get paid for this job, you know. So it's a, you know, you have to stand up for what you believe. You truly do in this industry because you get thrown into different situations that you might not have even known just from saying yes to a job. So you really have to be mindful and you really have to, you know, think about it. Don't just jump at a job as soon as they email you or, you know, call you, you know. Oftentimes, if I get called on my phone for a job, what I'll do is, you know, I'll let them know, you know what, actually I'm around, you know, a lot of people, is it possible, can you email me the details? And then that way you won't have to spit a rate out really quickly. You can find out what the details are, and then you can find out if it's something that you want to do. And then if so, then that way you have time to say your rate because, you know, they want you to tell them right away.
Exactly.
And I never do that. I always tell them I'm in a room full of people and I really don't like to discuss, you know, I really can't discuss that right now. Is it any way you can email me all the details and I will get right back to you?
And, you know, even if you're in a situation where you're not in a room full of people and you're at home and you don't have a rate for that, you cannot honestly give them a rate without having all the details. Just have enough guts to say, you know, can you give me all the details first? I can't give you an exact rate until I have all the details. And then that way, at least once you get all the details, like you said, get an email so that they're in writing so that they can't go back and say, well, I didn't say that.
So that's why
right.
I try to encourage a lot of people when they're accepting.
Because they'll throw
jobs.
You off in a minute because they'll ask you
they
so
will.
Quickly. You know, and
yeah.
it's like, no, don't think about it first. Don't just say yes to
mm-hmm.
a gig and you really don't know anything about it, you know. They might have you doing 15 people and you thought you were doing one. So you gave them
right.
a rate that you can't change, you know. So
exactly.
it's important to find out all the specifics on a job. How long will you be there? How many days? How many people am I responsible for doing? You find out this because you might need an assistant, you know. So finding out all this information first, you might be able to say, okay, well, I'm definitely going to need an assistant, you know. What's the budget look like, you know, for bringing on an assistant? So always get the details first.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So as soon as somebody says, what's your rate, it should just automatically come out of your mouth, what are the details?
Mm-hmm. 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 Absolutely.
Details?
How many looks are they going for? All of that. You need to find
mm-hmm.
out as much, probe them as much as possible, you know,
mm-hmm.
even if they, you know, you have to stretch and make them stretch to tell you all the details before you give them. So it's better
mm-hmm.
to have it written down so that if you have any additional questions, you can go back and forth with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just
mm-hmm.
want to understand, it's this amount of girls, repeat it, you know, just to make sure.
They can say one girl, but you're there for 10 hours with that one girl.
Right.
That
yeah.
one girl.
For five looks,
right.
you know, so, you know. You have to
and
find
you know,
out all the details.
And you may also have to just start in your mind, you know, before you even get these calls, just in your mind, go over in your mind certain things. Like if you get called for a film project, go over in your mind some of the questions that should be asked. If you get called for,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
start putting it over in your mind some of the things that should be asked.
We're losing you again. We're losing you again.
I can barely hear.
Okay, I'm going to ask Latoya a question. Can you all hear me? Now we can. Okay. Talking
mm-hmm.
about, you know, receiving calls about jobs. Years ago, I received a call from an agency.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, are you available, you know, such and such date? And she said, I have a job, so I'm asking the details of the job.
Mm-hmm.
And all she would say to me is, it's a wedding, and she wouldn't tell me who, where, or anything. No. It,
wow.
So she, wait a minute. I think she may have told me that it was in the Bahamas or something like that, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I just know the one particular detail, like she wouldn't say who. No, it's not that she didn't tell me where. She wouldn't say who and where. And so
okay.
I couldn't give her an answer. And she needed an mm-hmm. answer, like, right away.
Okay.
So long story short, it was to do the makeup for the bridesmaid for Tom Joyner's wedding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can't forget Donna. That's right. So it was to do the bridesmaid for Donna. And the great thing about it was, if I would have said yes, you know, I could have gone over and done the bridesmaid's makeup. And then a friend of mine was hired by Donna to do her makeup. So it would have been kind of nice to be there with my friend. We're both doing makeup, you know, for the wedding. But I had no
right.
idea who it was. Where it was, you just can't go just jump up and say, okay, I can do it, and the next thing you know, you're going to the Bahamas. And I'm just saying Bahamas. I can't remember where their wedding was, but it was some island somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question to you is, on the agency side, and then we probably just really talked about this, but I just wanted you to speak a little bit about the importance of the agent giving all the details when it comes to the job, because like, you know, like my sister was saying, or like Kia was saying, if you can't make a decision based on no information.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For us, even with the Green Project, it's important for us when a client calls that we do have all the details, because being on the other side of the business, being a makeup artist,
knowing all the things that you're going to have to know beforehand, what to put in your kit, where you're.
Mm-hmm. Toy?
Toy, did we lose her?
See, yep, I think we lost her.
But until she comes back, let me just say this part though. I think that was long before 9/11. What if that was now, after 9/11, where you need a passport to go anywhere?
Right.
And they're asking, are you available? But they don't say where you're going. And what if you don't have a passport, but say yes, I'm available?
Right. I think that's something that every artist should definitely have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You should definitely have a passport because you never know when an opportunity will come.
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know, so that limits you if you don't. So you want to make sure that you have a passport, you know. I know for my agents I had to have, you know, give them passport numbers, you know, give them all that information so they knew that, yes, I did have a passport, so if something should go down, I will be available. So that's just another way to basically set yourself up just in case something like that happens.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I think that every artist should definitely.
Conversation.
Yeah, every artist, I believe, should have a passport. They should have a passport.
Absolutely.
Just
I think she's
in
back.
Case.
I think Toy's back. Is she back?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She's back.
Yes.
Okay.
I know this is kind of skipping around, but does it really matter how you present your work? I mean, for me, that answer is yes. But I say all the time on this show, I think that every artist have a web presence. And when I say web presence, I mean website.
Absolutely.
It's great social media. But I think to have something that truly represents you, your professionalism, and your work, that should be a website. Do you ladies agree with that?
100%.
Even since we started The Gleam and we've had clients call, that is one of the first things they ask about.
Yeah.
And so we can't send you to your Instagram. We can't send you to your Facebook. We can't send you to your MySpace. Other than what we have on our site, and if they want to go see more of your work, you have to have a
website.
You have to.
Yes, that's imperative because
that's
I know I even got
yourself.
A call. I even got a call from it was an artist, and they wanted to know my Instagram profile, and I'm like, no, you can go to my website because I invest in myself.
Uh-huh.
So you can go there to see my work because you won't see much on Instagram. And so I think it's so important. That can set you apart, you know. It really lets people know that you care about your brand, you know. So you definitely want to make sure you have a website that's continuously updated. You know, keep innovating with your website, keep your bio, you know, nice and fresh, you know, even if you have to hire an editor, you have to invest in yourself because that's what tells people if I want to book you, if I want to book somebody else. So this is the first impression that people will see. I would rather have my first impression be of my work than be of a whole collection of stuff on Instagram that maybe, you know, maybe not be up to par. So I would rather send them professionally to my website.
Absolutely.
Last year I interviewed for the department head position on this television show.
Okay.
It was a pilot.
Okay.
And when I got the call that I got the job, I was told that, you know, that it was between me and one other person.
Okay.
And the producer who called me was the one who referred me to the job. So, of course, she was really pushing for me.
Okay.
So the UPM told her the reason why he selected me was because, you know, when they asked for, like, to see photos, I immediately responded with my web address. And they said that, you know, that me and the other young lady, you know, we're kind of neck and neck. We were kind of equal on the actual interview.
Okay.
But because I returned, you know, right away I responded with my website, and they were able to see the pictures right away, then they figured, okay, she's got her stuff together.
That was less time.
Absolutely.
And they said other people, when they asked for, when they were asking for, like, you know, to see portfolios or whatever, you know, people were, they didn't have, they didn't have a, like, they either came to the interview without a portfolio, which I never go to an interview with a portfolio. I always just get my website.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a book, or they were showing, like just regular 4x6 photos that they had taken, maybe of them on set somewhere.
Somebody
and doing somebody's hair. And if they weren't professional photos, they just didn't have anything at all. These were people who had been who've been in the business for, I mean, over 10 years.
And they should know better.
Should know better.
They should know what's required, rather.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, this stuff is so important, and I think today I've seen a lot of people prepare for today versus tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about longevity, you want to make sure you have everything intact. You want to make sure your brand is fully, intact. And, you know, I've gotten jobs because people have found me on the website, online. So it's like you want to make sure you have online presence. You want to make sure, you know, versus the social media, that you have established yourself online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when people Google you, they can have a whole bunch, you know, of different things on their interviews and things like that. You know, connect with bloggers and, you know, connect with, you know, Blog Talk Radio. You know, get yourself out there the best way you can so that you can have a collection of work, you know, a collection of interviews so people can really learn more about who you are versus just putting things on Instagram, because that's just living for today. That's just making quick money. And that's not establishing you for tomorrow. So make sure you are establishing yourself, your brand, so that you'll have longevity in this thing called makeup or hair or, you know, whatever, you know, you're doing. You want to make sure you – go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think that piece is the part that a lot of artists, no matter what part that you do, miss is the business part of it.
Yes.
Right.
Because it's for a lot of artists, it's just about the next brow or the shadow.
Right.
But it's about the business. There's so much on the other end of business.
Absolutely.
That is missing, that the discussion just isn't had.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's so much discussion when working as an artist. I think I should have known, okay, with contracts and
reaching out
branding,
to people.
Okay. And because you could be hurting other people. You know, and even in your industry, if the standard is not consistent.
That's
right. What we're finding now, more so on the other side with clients, your website is really important, but your social media is important too, as far as followers and what are you presenting, what are you putting out there. So everything as far as your branding should be consistent. You know, if we wanted to match an artist with a brand, the next thing the brand is saying, how many followers do they have? Well, first of all, who's following you? You know, so it's a whole new thing that we're moving into as far as artists that I think a lot of people are not looking at, and that's the business side of it.
So let me ask you all this really quickly, since we're talking about Instagram. As a makeup artist or a hairstylist, how much of your work should you put on social media? Because I know, like for us in film and TV, a lot of our work we can't put on the social media until after it's been released in the theaters or after it's been, you know, the television show airs. And sometimes at that point, I could care less, you know, at that point. Like, you watch it on TV, you know, rent the DVD or, you know, go see the movie. But how much, just in general, how much of our work should we be putting on social media? Because I feel like if everybody's putting everything that they do, like every, you know, photo shoot that they do and they have a beautiful photo, people are just putting all that stuff out there. And I'm like, you're not saving anything for when you do meet with a client. You know, you're putting all your work out there.
I would say I don't like to put all of my work on there because I would rather you go to my website, you know. But I do give you snippets, you know. But it's always a balance. I'm not doing an overkill thing where I'm just putting work every day on there, you know. I'm strategic with what I'm doing. I'm very strategic. And I think that everybody should be. You should know what you're putting out there, you know. One thing you will never see me being controversial on social media, you know. You will never see me, you know, being negative or taking jabs at people. You will never see me doing anything like that on social media. And right. that's just who I am, and that's just how I choose to be seen. You know what I mean? That's just me in everyday life. But I'm definitely not going to put any mess on social media because people are watching you, mm-hmm. and it's whatever you put now, that's what that's your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that how I use social media is for my brand. And so mm-hmm. if I want a personal page, then I'll do a personal page, and I'll have, you know, select people on my personal page, but I don't have that. So I use this for my brand. I use Facebook, I use Instagram, I use Twitter. I use it all for my brand's purpose.
And I like the word that Tia used, and it was strategic.
Right.
And that's
right.
what it has to be, and it goes back to what we're talking about with the Gleam. With every artist that we have, the plan is strategic. So while we may not be posting all of our work on there, well, mm-hmm. we want to work with Dove, so mm-hmm. we're going to comment on Dove. And you know what I'm saying? It's
mm-hmm.
just very strategic right. on how you work your social media. And back to
right.
being not being negative, putting your best face forward, of course, in all things, and just being consistent, you know, across the brand and developing yourself. So, you know, people that I'm learning now like to view your life just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so kind of, you know, giving your fans some feelers, you know, who you are and what you do. As you know, Tia by now, she's not ashamed of what she believes. We are not. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you're getting when we show up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's just being consistent, you know, across the board and getting those followers, putting your work out there.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time, but, you know, making sure you're keeping the brand consistent, that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask two questions before we run out of time. One, is the website taking the place of your actual portfolio, your actual physical book, or are we still seeing the use of your actual physical portfolio? And then how important are those numbers really in social media?
Okay, I'll take the question with the portfolio. I have two portfolios. I have not updated them in some years.
Mm-hmm.
However, I believe for me, my website has taken that place of the portfolio.
Okay.
I think at this stage where I am in my career, now if you say 10 years ago, I needed my book.
Right.
But now for me, I believe that my website it suffices,
right,
for the work that I do. Now, if I get a call and somebody needs me to FedEx this book, you best believe I'm gonna be over printing some pictures out real quick. Because I have, you know what I got to do. So I'm not opposed to doing that.
But one point about the portfolio is, you know, now that you have your website, it's kind of good, and I can see why you haven't updated in 2 years, because all of that stuff costs a lot of money to get
mm-hmm.
those photos and the right size
mm-hmm.
and all of that kind of stuff. It costs
a lot.
You
know what?
Of
Let me tell you
that.
What I found, that you can get some really inexpensive pictures at Costco.
Mm, really?
They are like a couple of dollars, I think. Like, it was probably less than, you know, it was cheap. The last time I updated it, I went to Costco.
And what size were you printing out?
The huge. I can't remember. The book
it's
is big.
Size. It's like 11 by.
Yes, I think that's what it was. 11 by 10. They
and
were
the
inexpensive.
Was really good?
Oh my goodness! Absolutely. That's
oh,
what's
wow.
in my book. The quality was excellent. As long as you have high-res photos,
right.
it's excellent. And you go up there and you get them. I can't remember how long it took. I don't think it took long at all.
Hmm. And see, that's the thing. That's the most expensive part, is the fact that you just have to have that certain size.
And you got to make
sure,
you know, you have to get your X-Acto knife. You have to make sure everything is perfect. Like, my portfolio, it has no fingerprints. When I present that portfolio is at its best. It is at its best. Like, I make sure that nothing is on the, you know, no film is on top of it. When I take that book is presented excellent. And I think that's what people need to make sure. Go through that book. Make sure everything is intact. Make sure, you know, you scatter the pictures. You know, you start with your strongest, but then you also put some in the middle, and you also leave them with something on their mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to scatter your photos, So the portfolios are definitely, I would definitely recommend people investing in portfolios, you know, because you just mm-hmm. never know. Yes, you might have a record label say, I need a book. Can you send me some books? You know, so you definitely don't want to X yourself out before you even get started. You want to make sure you have everything you need, your resume constantly updated, your business cards, your comp cards. I mean, I've always had comp cards since I started. So you all, because you never know, you know, somebody might want to see your work instantly. Well, here's a comp card. There's a, you know, there's about 5 or 6 pictures of my work. It gives you an idea. So,
right.
Yeah, and what I did, just study what people do, you know, study and Google artists and see the path that they have taken. And, you know, that helped me when I started out because I didn't know any artists at the time. And so I just dug into the web and basically I found out what worked for them and what worked for this one. And then I said, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do, you know, mm-hmm. once I did my research. So research is so important. Go to libraries, utilize these libraries, study, you know, marketing books, you know, learn how to get yourself out there without the need of, you know, you be your own agent until you get to
right.
where you need to be. But, mm-hmm. you know, I invite people, you know, to check out the Glean Project's website. It's just thegleanproject.com. If you want to submit a portfolio, you know, we welcome that. You can submit at info@thegleanproject.com. And like I say, give us, you know, another month. We will be definitely, we have a folder set so that everybody who submits their work, we're putting them in the folder. So we will be responding, and, you know, so, hey, we're so excited. We're so happy to
yes,
be here
you
with
are.
You all. You know, this is really a great platform for artists, and, you know, artists need to tune in to Blog Talk Radio as often as you have it because this is some information that will help you.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Definitely.
And then the last question, Toya, how important are those social media numbers?
What we're finding, it's very important to us because what we're doing, of course, is not just trying to pair our photographers and stylists and makeup artists just with, you know, maybe a celebrity. We're trying to pair them with brands. That's going to breed longevity with them. Their checks are going to be longer. And so the first thing they ask is how many followers do they have?
Mm-hmm.
What does their Twitter following look like?
Mm-hmm.
And even for some of the ones we've already signed, we're working with them individually in building their social media numbers up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important.
I think it's something that's individualized. You know, like Toy was saying, we have an expert. You know, she's an etiquette expert, and she's actually the top, and she's the top 5 etiquette experts in the USA. However, mm-hmm. so when you Google etiquette expert, her name pops up. She's normally between 3 and 5. But the one thing about it, we have to build her numbers because, I mean, she's been on Today's Show. She's been on CNN. You know, anything happens, she's one of the top people that they call all the time. However,
mm-hmm.
as far as putting her with brands want to know what is your impact with people. They want to
yep.
know how many followers do you have. So that's something that we're working with her because she already has an amazing collection of work, you know. She's on TV most weeks. However, when you pair her with brands, it does, you know, it counts.
It impacts, yeah.
Yes, it counts. So it just depends on what you want to do. If you want to be an expert, then your numbers need to be high because people want to see what is your influence. You know, they want to see how many people really believe what you're saying.
And, Toya, mm-hmm. you mentioned Twitter. Is that what brands are mainly looking at, your Twitter numbers, or is it all of the
sites? It's like your Twitter and your Instagram, because mostly that's where you're able to post your pictures at or, you know, and post your tweets at. That's
mm-hmm.
where you're able to do your shout-outs at. And so
mm-hmm.
they're looking at that's your voice for
mm-hmm.
the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're looking at.
Gotcha.
And I'm horrible at it. I'll tell you, so you're horrible at it, and I am.
I'll admit it.
I think
I'm
all. You know,
it.
I remember back in the day, we used to all be, man,
oh
going on Twitter.
We used to be on MySpace.
Yes, we used to be on MySpace. I miss MySpace.
I know, me too.
I'm trying to get better at Twitter. I'm trying to get better, you know. I've been kind of working with the Gleam, so I have neglected my personal Twitter.
But that's my issue.
when you work on set long, extremely
yeah,
long
you don't
hours,
have time.
Consistently, who has time? And then when you're on set with the phone in your hand tweeting, that's a no-no too.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just kind of like sneak and do something really quickly.
Right, right.
You know, it's really hard for those people who are like either working all the time or on jobs where you really can't do that all the time.
And I think it's a conscious effort. You have to keep, you know what I mean? It's a, even
yeah.
when you, like you say, you're in those moments where you can't, okay, so you got to figure out, okay, I need to do something later. You know, it's like you
right,
have to
right.
consciously keep it on your mind, like this is something that we have to do for the brand in order to do it because, it's, I mean, life is just happening right now, you know?
Yep, you're right. You have to actually take time to do it.
Right. You do.
So
you do.
Well, you just shouted out your website. Tell everyone where you are. The Gleam Project is on social media.
Yes, please follow us on the Gleam Project. It's just our name, so everything is under the Gleam Project. Please follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. We have some exciting things coming up for 2015, and we want you to be abreast of everything. But please, you know, artists, you know, send us your information, send us what state you're in, and, you know, we will definitely be getting back with people. You know, we might not put you on the website, but it's a chance we might need you, you know. So
right.
we definitely want to have a Rolodex full of artists that we can call on should something arise in the area that they are in.
Gotcha. Good. Sounds good. Anything else you want to say to me? Because, you know, you always have an opinion. I think she is you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I said, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Oh, yes. Viola Davis won a Screen Actors Guild Award.
Yay!
So congrats to her for her show. She had a wonderful speech.
Yay!
So, sorry, I was preoccupied with that.
Oh, okay. And did I, Tony, is that you? Are you back? Did we lose you?
I'm here, yes, I'm back.
And did you have any last minute words you wanted to say?
That's it. Thank you guys for having us on. It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
And follow us, as Tia said, at thegleamproject.com. I think she kind of covered everything. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us.
Yes.
Submit your work, and we'll get back to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, congratulations, Lee. You all have a lot of work to do.
Yes, we do.
Somebody's got to do it, though.
Exactly.
somebody has to do it with integrity. So I'm excited that you all are on the forefront of all of that. So
thank you.
Get busy, and we'll keep following and seeing what you guys have going.
Okay, we'll come back soon.
All right.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. And let me say this really quickly. I normally do this at the end of the show. Just wanted to encourage everybody to follow us on Facebook. We're Beauty Talk Online Radio.
Yes.
Follow us on Twitter. We're Beauty_Talk. On Instagram, we're Beauty_Talk_Media. And you can also follow us on BBM, which we're having great BBM conversations nowadays. And let me get the – hold on. How about this? How about I'll put the barcode on Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow us from just scanning the barcode.
Well, that'd be good.
I'm trying to talk on the phone and get the BBM pen at the same time. And it's not working.
y'all see what I deal with.
That's love. Yes, honey. Yes, it is. Leave me alone.
I really enjoyed tonight's conversation.
Yay.
Thank you so much. And I tried to ask some questions that I thought that people would want to know the answer to. So I hope everyone out there listening learned a lot as well. I know the people that were on the speak chat, they really did, and I appreciate Brandy and Tiffany,
right.
All of our regulars who tune in and listen. Thank you so much. And then I saw somebody new out there. Thanks, Viola. And then, let's see, Tammy.
Yay.
So thank you for chatting with us. And again, we'll be back next week with, our guest next week is Vonda Morris. Makeup artist Vonda Morris, and she will be here to talk about her work with David Oyelowo on Selma, and then she also did the Lifetime movie that just came on last night with this spring.
This spring.
Yay. Yeah.
So she'll be back. So she'll be here next Sunday. So hopefully you guys will all tune in. Same time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. So
okay.
As always, everyone have a wonderful night and have
Yay.
A beautiful and blessed week.
Thank
night.
You.
Thank
you. Thank
you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.